And welcome back to the locker room. And we're going to talk America's Cup because, well, firstly, welcome to Phil and welcome to Robbie.
G'day.
Good morning. How are you, Neil?
And of course, Australia won the America's Cup last weekend. That's official, isn't it, now?
Of course we did. We've got more Australians in the America's Cup than any other country,
I think. It was sensational. And a little-known story, and you might be able to elaborate on this, but the winning skipper, actually a local guy, I mean, born in Bendigo, but a local guy in terms of sailing.
Yeah, Glenn Ashby is the catamaran whisperer of the Mornington Peninsula and sails at Macrae Yacht Club, so if you're down there any time and you want to have a chat, Glenn's the type of guy that will sit down and have a chat with you about anything sailing. He just loves it.
Do you reckon we can get him in one day, Phil?
We'll get Glennie in, yeah.
Yeah.
When he's in Australia,
yeah,
that is.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, we nearly got him last year when we were down at Macrae, but unfortunately he was busy with the New Zealand Challenge.
Because these guys are full-time sailors, are they? Like, do they spend 52 weeks of the year sailing somewhere or doing something sailing-related?
Yeah, he's always sailing somewhere. Now, Glenn's had a terrific career in sailing, and especially sailing multi-hulls, catamarans. He started out at the age of 15, he was sailing Paper Tigers, the class that I sail, and he was national champion at 15.
Wow.
Then he moved into A-class catamarans, which is a bigger, faster boat, international boat. Became national champion of the A-class. Kept sailing a few years, became world champion. He did that, won a few world champions of A-class. Then he moved in and teed up with Darren Bundock, sailing Tornadoes. Crewing for Darren, they became Tornado world champions. Then they went to the Olympics and got second. They got silver medalists in 2008. Then Glenn won a few more A-class worlds. And, of course, now the pinnacle is the America's Cup. Now, my brother is world president of the A-class association. And he always kept saying, well, if you win the world championship, you own the trophy, you can have it. Well, apparently, last world championships, they actually presented Glenn
really?
The world champion trophy.
Wow.
Mm. Yeah. So that's a big thing. And look, he's a lovable guy, Glenn. He'll just sit down and have a chat with you anytime. Just loves sailing. And like you say, to see him sailing, the boat's just a part of him. It's just unbelievable. He really understands the fundamentals of sailing the boat as well as what he actually sees in the sail. Guys like me that are club sailors just struggle with that, but Glenn just sets his sail perfectly every time. And probably Robbie can relate to that. Robbie's a pretty good sailor. He understands that.
Yeah, no, Glenn is a fantastic sailor, and he's probably one of the first guys to sort of start looking at the wind from a three-dimensional perspective rather than just looking at the wind flowing
across
the land.
It's coming from the north,
yeah. He's also looking at it coming down from the clouds and stuff. And I've raced Glenn a few times over the years, and he's fantastic. He's a phenomenal sailor, and hats off to him and the team of Team New Zealand. They've done an amazing job.
Mm. So they famously blew that 8-1 lead they had 4 years ago, didn't they, in the America's Cup? And that was a best of 17 race event. Why this year or this time around was it a best of 13?
Yeah, I'm not sure why it was the first boat to win seven races or whatnot, but I'm not sure why exactly that they changed that. But in terms of the comeback, Oracle were very limited on what they could change on the boat this time around. Which, they wrote the rules, so they also shot themselves in the foot a little there. But fundamentally, New Zealand's just, they came out with a much better design, and the systems on their boat were far superior to any other team.
So even though they look the same, when you're watching them on television, there are fundamental differences, design differences, are there?
Yeah, absolutely. Between the foils on Emirates Team New Zealand and their wing control, they had a massive advantage over Oracle Team USA. And also, The ability to be able to change, you know, all the shape in the wing, they could really, with Glenn trimming the wing, he could really work on fine tuning that wing for absolute efficiency.
Now, what do you, when you say wing, wing, what are we talking about?
Yeah,
the sail.
Yeah,
itself.
So
right.
Rather than using a conventional soft sail, they use a hard wing, which is just like a wing off an aircraft.
Right.
And they also had a
made out of what? Sorry,
So it's basically it's very similar to an aircraft wing in terms of it's a carbon fiber spar,
right?
And then they just run a skin over that.
Yep.
And that's
just like a heat shrink over the top of it.
Yeah.
And the other thing too with the cyclores, I don't know if you guys
Greg commented on that several times.
Of course, they won because they had the cycling running the propellers rather than the
cyclists running the propellers. Absolutely.
So what are those guys doing?
They basically the boats. You had the helms person, the trimmer, and then another guy doing the tactics or whatnot, and then the rest of the team, the other few guys that were on there were
pedaling like hell.
Yeah, just developing hydraulic pressure for an accumulator. Ah. So everything on the boat was controlled by hydraulics, and then all they were trying to do was keep that hydraulic pressure up. And with the guys cycling, they had a massive advantage, you know, of course, because legs are much more powerful than arms.
Yeah.
And they're just in
and
that
they
position.
Can go for longer.
That's right as well, yeah. And they also were more aerodynamic in that, I don't know if you saw any photos or anything, but they had a much better profile to the airflow.
Yeah.
Which is down, but they could all, the whole team, the whole crew could actually look around.
Yeah.
Like when you've got your head down and you're grinding, you really can't look around.
Yeah.
So the whole team on the boat were, you know, giving information.
Actually aware of what's going on because they're using their legs rather than their arms. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm. And when you have a look at Glenn, he's sitting down in the cockpit like on an Xbox machine playing video games.
Computer games, yeah.
That was a little bit psychological advantage like Australia 2's wing keep.
Mm.
That the Americans are going, what's going on?
What's going on here?
What's he doing? But actually, he was, I think it was like a little bubble in, and you've got to keep it in the centre to keep your wing in perfect...
In balance.
Perfect shape.
Okay.
And these guys... The New Zealanders were 100% foiling. They sailed around the course without dropping their boat in the water.
Yeah.
And once you drop the boat in the water, you lose so much ground.
Yeah.
Mm. So these guys are just unbelievable. Plus, Glenn said that they weren't going 100% fast. They can go fast.
They can go quicker.
You know, when you look at them, they were doing, 25 knots and about 8 knots of breeze.
Yeah, faster actually. Well,
33
knots.
Mm. Yeah. 33 knots.
Yeah. Is that in the stealth?
Mm. Yeah, well, not quite that fast. But no, the boats are unbelievable. You know, they're regularly sailing around at 3 times the wind speed. That's phenomenal. And it's just when you start looking at sailing like that, you've got to think more like a glider. It's all about a lift to drag ratio. And New Zealand had the superior lift to drag ratio, fundamentally, which was the undoing of Oracle.
Yeah. Interesting. I was looking up some of the real changes which have occurred over a period of a couple of years here, because, you know, we can remember the old long ones, almost like the ocean liner one. Mm. And then it changed in 2014 when they said they'll go for the 62-foot long foils. Yeah. Where are we? Entry fee at that point was $3 million. Our challenging team could only build one boat, but Oracle team was allowed to have two at the time. Yeah. So great rules.
Seems to change every challenge.
And nationality rule was agreed. 25% of the crew had to be from the entry's country. So that's why they keep going for all the Aussies, because they only have to 25% of their own. The nationality rule apparently was lifted going way back to 2003, America's Cup. This was an interesting one. The rules specify the size of the sailor, average of 87.5 kilograms. So all of a sudden you've got to become quite athletic because you've got to have the strength, but you can't have too much weight. So that must make a bit of a difference to the way that they're building their team. So I assume that one has sort of continued all the way through, and then in 2015 they pulled it back to the 50-foot range, which is what they used. The Russians didn't like that, and they withdrew and haven't been seen since. But It's interesting that they've gone for the weight of the sailors as well. And what sort of impact might something like that have, Rob, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think, you know, they're going for a target range. It's probably the average of most of the guys on the boats anyway. But it's just to stop the crew weights getting too out of hand. Mm. Because there is a big, with the catamarans, it's really amplified the righting moment that you can produce by having a heavier team on each side.
Mm.
So they're just trying to keep them in a rough, within a window of weight.
And is it true as well that apart from Glenn that we've just been talking about, the whole team, the New Zealand team, was a new team compared to the 4 years ago? They, in other words, there was no one on the team with negative thoughts, I guess, and worrying about what might have happened four years ago. It was a whole new team.
That's right. I mean, Glenn was the only guy from the last challenge on board.
Mm.
And he was out there, he was determined to win, wasn't he?
I reckon, yeah. And they did have an accident, didn't they, was it the semi-finals against Great Britain, where they did a bit of damage to the boat? That must have concerned them a little bit.
Yeah, that was actually...
cartwheel.
Yeah, practice. Ben Ainslie Racing was actually nicknamed Ben Ainslie Ramming because he just kept crashing into people. It was pretty impressive. But yeah, they had some damage from that incident. And also they had a bit of a capsize as well, which was not good. But they bounced back from that and they came in stronger.
Mm.
Yeah, it just shows the people behind the team. You know, the boat builders and designers and all that are working flat out through the night to get these boats ready for the next day.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Because as Neil touched on before, the challengers can only have one boat in the competition. Yeah. Yeah.
But we had a couple of wings there, or New Zealand had a couple of wings. We say we because Glenn's our mate.
Oh, we started this session with saying that we won the American
Cup.
Well,
we're talking about the Mornington Peninsula.
We have won it.
Do-gooders.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
So all you kids out there that are learning to sail, you can aspire to the America's Cup. Anything you want.
The Olympics.
Just because you sail on the Mornington Peninsula.
World Championships
not good.
In Europe. Yeah.
Talking about...
Yeah, what's coming up?
What's coming up with the America's Cup. There is a rumour that it won't be in catamarans next time.
Mm. Okay.
There's a rumour going around that
New Zealand will change the rules.
It's early days. They put a lot of money into it. And it looks like a monohull, 60-foot long foiling.
Okay.
And so they'll be flying along with about 12 crew.
And who makes that decision, though, Phil, to change things around to that extent?
It's as it goes back to the... Then now defenders of the cup, it's up to them. They can change the rules.
Yeah. All right.
So the deed of gift gets changed. But Prada, apparently, the Italian team, have put a lot of money in.
They've all got very nice handbags.
They're the first challengers. And it's up to they can actually change the rules.
Yeah.
Wow.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens in Auckland.
Absolutely.
I hope you've got a house there.
We'll go and organise something, So just briefly, guys, what else is coming up in sailing? There'll be lots of championships and things. You're with us, Rob. You're not heading off to Europe, not off the coast of Portugal or anything?
No, unfortunately, I'm just staying locally at this point. Embracing the cold. But, I'm always out there sailing. I'll be out there tomorrow just playing with a bit of hydrofoiling.
Mm.
And yeah, in terms of locally, I think we're sort of into the winter months, so it's a bit quiet sailing wise. But I mean, over in Europe, this is obviously the peak time, so there's plenty of events going on over there. And I'm not sure what our local teams are up to, but we'll keep you posted.
Well, we've got summers in the summer. We've got the Hobie Nationals.
Yep.
So I'm hoping Robbie will be back on a Hobie for that.
Yeah, that's the plan. I'm hoping to compete in the Wildcat class at the Hobie Nationals at Summers Yacht Club over the Christmas New Year period, which will be really fun.
Fantastic.
I might even get into a Hobie 14.
So as usual, over our summer, there'll be lots of good local sailing and championships and things like that. And we hope to bring you guys back, of course.
We hope to get in the outside broadcast van.
Fantastic.
Thank you to our sponsors.
Yes.
We've just got to find some. But there's lots going on this year down on the Mornington Peninsula, and we hope to broadcast from regattas all around the peninsula.
Sensational. Oh, it's really interesting stuff.